John, it's James. Warm up the tires and turn up the engine because it's time to start the Outlap F1 podcast. From the Sports Talk Garage Network studio in Chicago to the best fans from around the world, join us every week for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 39 of the Outlap F1 podcast. This is the Sekir GP race preview. It's Andy. I'm along with James tonight as my merry-go-round of co-hosts seems to continue. unfortunately, we do not have John. So at some point, we will have podcasts at full strength, but tonight is not that night. James, how are we doing?
I'm awesome, man. Missed an exciting race review this last Sunday. You guys did an excellent job with that, but I am pumped for this weekend's race. I was excited when we found out that it was going to essentially be sort of an oval ring type shape. But now with the news that we'll get into in a little bit about Lewis Hamilton not being there, it is completely up for grabs now. So I am even more excited.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, any one of these stories that we're going to get to when we do our news rundown could have like broken F1 Twitter. And they all hit at the same day. So, I mean, F1 Twitter right now is in shambles. But anyway, we're going to get into that in just a minute. Just a reminder that you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, and now Reddit at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can email our show anytime you like at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can find us on our website at www.outlapf1.com, where you will find the very talented blogger, Sophie Middleton, who is penning her reactions to her first year watching Formula One races. And you can find her on Twitter at MotorsportsSoph. And a reminder that on our website, you can find our Support the Pod page. We're looking to invest in some new equipment, some new, you know, recording type gear. So anything you want to help out with us, we would greatly appreciate. If you can't do it, we totally understand. It's been a hard year for everybody, so we totally get it. You can leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. They're like gold to us, and we would be super appreciative of that. As always, a reminder, we have our F1 for Beginners episode. It's our Season 2, Episode 10, where we take you soup to nuts, everything front to back about Formula One, the sport we love, and the sport we love to talk about. And we are also thrilled to announce and continue our partnership with the good friends at Manscaped. Just a reminder, you can still take advantage of the code OUTLAP, get the 20% off, get the free shipping. It's an awesome deal. We are thrilled to bring it to you. So without further ado, we're going to get into the number one massive headline of the week, and that is Lewis Hamilton will miss the Sekir GP and possibly the Abu Dhabi GP due to contracting COVID-19, as was announced on Tuesday. That means George Russell gets to take Hamilton's seat at Mercedes, which means, well, what happens at Williams? Well, Jack Aitken is getting the call up to race in Russell's place at Williams. And that means that the actual reserve driver, Stoffel Vandoorne, doesn't end up doing anything other than continuing to test his Formula E car, which he was doing earlier this week. So, James, this is a massive game changer, to say the least, huh?
Yeah, I mean, pretty wild. The news broke. It was probably about 3-4 in the morning here, Central Standard Time here in the States, which is kind of like my prime time since I'm a second shifter. So I'm scrolling through Twitter kind of absentmindedly as I'm watching TV, and then Lewis news pops up, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that's a joke. Like, there's no way Lewis has COVID. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's from Formula One. I'm like, did Formula One get hacked or something? So a little more scrolling, it became legit. I screenshot it, sent to you and John, who, of course, were deep asleep. So I didn't really have anybody to talk to directly. So it was kind of driving me crazy with that news dropping. But, yeah, just totally insane. Let me be the first to put all of the blame on John. You know, I listened to last week's review of the race, and he definitely called out and mentioned that Lewis has completed every lap so far this whole season. And then what do you know? Lewis gets COVID. So, Mr. Hamilton, if you're looking for somebody to blame, our good friend John, I think he deserves all of it. Wouldn't you say, Andy?
Well, I was going to give you full props. I mean, I don't know. Maybe John's to blame. Maybe he's not. But I was going to give you full props because on your Hungarian race review, I remember the quote. and you said the only thing that was going to stop Lewis Hamilton this year was catching the Rona. And damn if it didn't happen. So, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, this is obvious. It's a huge story, obviously, that he got it. He's seems to be fairly asymptomatic. He does have some symptoms, but it doesn't look like anything is, you know, super life-threatening or anything like that. It looks like he's going to be able to recover fine. It just means that he's going to obviously miss this race for sure. It's going to be he's got a mandatory 10-day quarantine period in Bahrain where they are right now. If he comes out of that and then he can test negative, it's possible he could be back for Abu Dhabi, but it's not looking very likely. And at this point, he's got no, you know, other than wanting to drive the race car, he really doesn't have any reason to. His championship is over. It's all wrapped up. The Mercedes Constructors Championship is over. That's all wrapped up. So, you know, it kind of goes back to what I've always kind of said about COVID, that, you know, just because you get it didn't mean you do anything wrong. I mean, Lewis has been the poster child for how to do this and try to how to do this right, and he still got it. So it's ultimately this stupid effing microbe that's going to do what it's going to do, regardless of who you are, regardless of rich, poor, whatever. You know, it just to me, it serves as a reminder to everybody, just, you know, do your safety stuff, especially now with the holidays and everything, because if he can get it, anybody can.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first thought, too. It's like Lewis seemed to be taking it just as, if not more serious than everybody else on the grid. So to see him catch it was definitely a big time surprise. But, you know, some other things that popped up now, it's like, again, what's the point of reserve drivers at this point in F1? Because it's kind of just like a suggestion almost now. Not to say I'm upset. Like, as soon as it broke, you know, the rumor started right away about George Russell, and I'm all for it. I'm real excited to see that kid in the Mercedes. I really hope, I guess maybe really hope shouldn't be the way I put this, but I wouldn't mind Lewis sitting out next race as well, so we could see George on maybe more of a normal track, I guess we'll say.
Yeah.
In that Mercedes, this is kind of going to be a one-off with the way the setup is. But, yeah, I mean, could it play out any better for Mercedes either? Because it's like George Russell's the heir apparent to a Mercedes seat. Everybody knows it. And now they could get one, maybe two races to see him go up against Bottas, who realistically will be the guy he replaces, because I don't see Lewis going anywhere for the next few years. So now it's like, all right, kid, you got two chances, hopefully. Let's see what you got against Bottas here. So we'll get into the predictions at the end of the show and see what we think is going to happen between those two. But definitely excited to see him out there. Jack Aiken getting a chance to get a race in there. That's pretty exciting for him. I'm sure that's the last thing he was expecting probably 72 hours ago. But good on him for that. And yeah, I think our next news item is yet another guy making his debut.
Yeah, before we hop into that, just a quick comment on Russell. I think overall this is a move that makes total sense, simply because Russell has been doing a lot of the testing. You know, when they've had, obviously this season we didn't have any in-season tests, but in prior years when we were able to have, quote, young driver or other tests, it was always Russell in the car. So he already knows all of the engine terminology. He's worked with that crew. He's got his seat fit already kind of done. So, I mean, as weird of an oddity as it is to see a driver jumping teams mid-season, I think it totally makes sense. So, you know, good for him. We'll have to see what it comes down to. But as you just alluded to, James, he is not the only new driver on the grid this weekend. Obviously, with the crash of Roman Grosjean, while he was discharged from the hospital today, and that is awesome news, given the ferocity of that crash, he is not going to be participating in the Sakhir Grand Prix. That will be Haas's actual reserve driver, Pietro Fittipaldi, will race in the seat this weekend in place of Roman Grosjean, and that means we will have an American on the grid. And if you're wondering who Pietro Fittipaldi is, and you've heard that name before, he's the grandson of Emerson Fittipaldi.
Yeah, super exciting to have an American on the grid this weekend. Definitely going to be rooting for him. Sucks he's got a pretty shitty car to drive with not the best power unit, unfortunately. But it is exciting for us as Americans. First time since 2015 in Brazil with Alexander Rossi. But I do have a quick question for you, Andy. In that race, Mr. Rossi finished in 17th place, I believe. I should have checked with Deanna over at Relap to make sure I got my historical facts correct. But if I got it wrong, you can yell at me, Deanna. But what do you think? Pietro Fittipaldi, is he going to beat, tie, or finish behind where Rossi finished, which was 17th?
Well, if he finishes the race, he probably should eclipse that slightly. He's either going to tie it or he's going to be in front. And I'm going to say, I think he'll be in front, simply because if you can get in a basically not necessarily a DRS train, but if you cannot like lose the draft, to coin like a NASCAR term, I think you should be in some sort of a pack. The worst answer would be he ends up kind of on his own and, you know, way off the pace, and that would be kind of bad. But I don't think he's going to score points. That would be awesome, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to be somewhere around like P15, P16.
All right, good deal. I'm rooting for and expecting him to beat 17th as well. So we're on the same page there. Awesome. Yep.
So speaking of Haas, they are our next big story that did rock F1 Twitter this week. They have confirmed their 2021 lineup with Nikita Mazepin and the belle of the ball, Mick Schumacher. So Haas makes a huge, huge signing. James, initial thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whoever made these media decisions for Haas is a genius, I'd say. I don't know. They probably just got real lucky that Lewis announced he had COVID. And then immediately after, Haas is like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to have Nikita Mazepin officially on the team, because that's a decision not a lot of people were happy with. Yeah. Definitely a lot of scuttlebutt on F1 Twitter about people not being so happy with that move, which is kind of understandable. Mazepin's got a little bit of a sketchy past, especially when it comes to Sonoda, which will be interesting if he does end up coming up to AlphaTauri next year. But yeah, a little bit of a sketchy past, rich daddy. We know the drill fairly well now in Formula One these days with those kind of kids. But then the next day, then they dropped the big news of Mick Schumacher coming up to F1, which is everybody's buzzing about that one. Super excited to have a Schumacher back on the track, on the grid there. So, I mean, just back-to-back days, big news drops by Haas. I'm excited to see Schumacher in F1 next year. Mazepin, I'll honestly say I'm not that excited to see him in F1. I'm excited to see Haas maybe get some of the money that's going to come along with him. And that should come along with Schumacher as well. That's going to be a lot of sponsor dollars, I'm sure, coming in just because of that name.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think in terms of, you know, recognizability, you just put yourself right in the spotlight, Haas F1, you know, huge time. You know, this is a team that's not going to be able to race in anonymity any longer. They've kind of been they've been foundering at the back the last couple of years, but nobody really has been paying huge attention to, you know, every decision. You know, we joke about, you know, hey, let's find the good thing to say about Haas this week. Well, guess what? That's done. The spotlight that Mick Schumacher is going to bring to that team, and the media and fan coverage that it's going to bring to that team. If you thought the rich energy dude was bad, if they do poorly, they're going to have all sorts of, you know what, all over themselves on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, you name it. Because they're expecting Mick Schumacher to do well. And if this works and they can give him a car that can at least kind of do what George Russell does, you know, just be in the mix, make a Q2, an oddball Q3. I know that's asking a ton, especially given the power unit that they have. But if you can get it there, you know, that's all anybody's really looking for. They're not looking for Haas F1 to win races. No one's expecting them to be on podiums. But they're going to have to be at least competitive. They're going to have to be challenging at the points a lot more consistently than they are now. And they can't just necessarily rely on, you know, home run strategy calls to get points anymore, because they're going to have lots and lots of eyes on that car. And if, you know, you make the wrong tire choice, you're going to have to stand up and explain why now. So I hope that this is a really good signing for them, but I hope they understand what they're getting into.
Oh, yeah. Gunther Steiner is going to be next level next year with some of the questions he's going to be facing, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll have to see if he still remains like Gunther and drops a couple bombs here and there on live TV. We'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, like I said in the last in the review, Gunther Steiner never change. Never change, man. So our last news story and what has been a very newsy rundown so far is that a few weeks back we talked about Fernando Alonso wanting to participate in the air quote young driver test, and a few teams, including McLaren, his former team, blocking that effort. I guess that has then since been resolved. And him, and not only him, but Sebastian Buemi, who has not been in a Formula One car in a number of years, will be taking part in the postseason Abu Dhabi, quote, young driver test, which is basically turning into the, you know, the race season ends and you get to see all your new drivers and all the new uniforms type test. So, you know, why they even bother to call a young driver test? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems kind of silly. I remember we talked about it a few weeks ago, or maybe just a couple weeks ago now, that that Alonso was trying to take part in this. The Buemi thing caught me off guard. I had totally missed that story. I don't know if it just broke when the Alonso stuff became official or not, but who is he going to be testing for?
He'll be driving for Red Bull, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Story reported on motorsport.com, I believe.
Wow. Nice. That's a bit of a surprise then, for sure.
Yep, definitely. But, you know, we'll have to see how kind of, you know, how those go. You know, to me, this always seems to me a lot of much ado about nothing. Yeah, he'll get the running in. It's basically to get track time, which is now the, you know, it's a commodity that you can't have as much of because there's not as many track days. And when we're going into testing next year, we only have 3 days. So we don't even have the 4 days in like we had this year. You know, every hour, every minute you can be on the car and be on track is going to be super important for young and old drivers trying to get up to speed going into next season. So it will be interesting to see where that goes. So that's kind of it for the news. We're going to take a quick break and come back and get into the Sakhir Grand Prix.
Are you looking for the ultimate stocking stuffers for this holiday season? Look no further, because our sponsors, Manscaped, have the tools to make you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products. And great news, they just released their products across Europe, Canada, and even Australia. So a few of their products that are prime stocking stuffers this season are the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. The name really does speak for itself. Crop Reviver Ball Toner, a spray-on toner that will give your balls a little slice of heaven with their aloe vera and hazel extracts. The Crop Cleanser Body Wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair, and it smells absolutely fantastic. Crop Mop Ball Wipes, you never know when an opportunity strikes, so you should always be prepared. These are something real nice to keep in your backpack, work bag, gym bag, just for a real quick refreshment. Makes you feel like $1 million every time you use them. We also got the Foot Duster Foot Deodorant, designed to keep the stankiest feet smelling fresh. I can definitely attest to that one as well. Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit. Keep them nails looking good, boys. The Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer, which provides proprietary skin-safe technology to get rid of those nasty nose hairs. And let's not forget about the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body. The Lawnmower 3.0 Trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know their products are legit. And you can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, OUTLAP. Whether this is for your partner, dad, brother, friend, get them something that they will actually use, and it's almost sure to get a laugh. It really is a win-win. It gives people a chuckle. All of their promotional stuff is always real funny. Some of the stuff that comes within the boxes and things that you get, the kits, there's some pretty funny stuff. So it's always enjoyable, and you know, it really helps them. At first, they might not be sure about it, but once they read some of the material and actually go to town with it, they'll definitely enjoy it. They won't regret it. So get yourself 20% off, hands and free shipping at manscaped.com with code OUTLAP. Once again, it's code OUTLAP, OUTLAP, all one word. Go check it out.
Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 39 of the OutLAP F1 Podcast. It's Andy along with James, and this is our Sakhir Grand Prix preview episode. James, why don't you tell us about the Bahrain Outer Ring?
All right, so these Bahrain Track Freaks are brought to you, as always, by Pirelli Motorsport. Thank you, Pirelli. So this is the Bahrain International Circuit, located in Sakhir, Bahrain. So we are familiar with the circuit, but not the layout. This layout for this race will be 87 laps, which is insane. it's a lot of laps. It is that many laps because it's 3.543 kilometers or 2.2 miles long. There'll be 11 turns. Tire selection for the weekend is C2 for the hard, C3 for the medium, and C4 for the softs. Track characteristics, we're looking at traction of a 3 out of 5, braking 3 out of 5, tire stress 3 out of 5. Lateral load, only a 1 out of 5 with asphalt grip 4 out of 5 and asphalt abrasion 5 out of 5. And downforce 2 out of 5. So since it is the first time we're racing on this configuration, there is no qualifying lap record. There is no race lap record. And I can't tell you who has the most wins or constructor wins because there hasn't been any yet. Andy, I mean, do your best to break down this crazy looking circuit for us.
So this is probably the closest thing to an oval that F1 probably can get with the tires that they currently have. But drivers will be racing on the floodlights on the more open outer circuit, which is longer than Monaco, but it's 0.2 kilometers longer than Monaco, but it is the shortest, which would make it the shortest track on this year's calendar. What they'll do is they will basically use turns 1, 2, 3 of the Bahrain Grand Prix circuit that we were on last week. Instead of going into turn 4, they will then basically jink to the left, and they will go onto the outer circuit for a bit of an S section in terms of turn 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's kind of an S's, but they're very, very soft S's, no real hard braking zones. And then they rejoin the last sector, basically, of the Bahrain circuit, coming out of what I think would be Bahrain turn 13, blast down into the familiar now end of the pit, you know, beginning of the pit straight section, and then coming back to complete the lap. It's going to be a fast lap. It's going to be pretty much flat out. There are two DRS detection zones. There was some talk of maybe them doing a third one, but it's basically the normal DRS zone at the end of the pit straight. And then as you're coming into the pit straight, there's a DRS zone as well. So hopefully some chances for overtaking, but this is kind of a going into the unknown. We really don't know what to expect. When John and I were talking about this on our last review, we either said this is going to be an awesome circuit for overtaking, or it's going to be one long DRS train. So yeah, we could have 180 degrees either way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the top of the grid is going to be lapping some guys probably multiple times. I'd have to imagine, we'll break it down here in a little bit, but we're all predicting sub 1 minute lap times here. So it's going to be a total shit show in the best sense of the term, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, you could see all sorts of stuff. The blue flags are going to be out, I think, maybe 10 laps into this thing. It could be that bad. We're seeing, back markers coming up, getting blue flags in maybe the first stint, which is usually something we don't see. We're not necessarily sure how many pit stops we think there's going to be yet, because we don't know how it's going to wear on the tires. That's what Friday practice will be for, is to basically kind of figure out what the heck the tires are going to do. Weather wise, looks like it's going to be pretty much straight down the middle, obviously with it being completely at night with no daylight, a little bit cooler than last week. Qualifying is set to be 71 degrees with a 10% chance of rain. Race time, which will be significantly later than last week's race start time, 65 degrees with, again, only a 10% chance of rain. Even if we had a rain spot or two, I would imagine it would burn off relatively quickly, because that's kind of what we saw last week. So we're just going to head right into our predictions segment. Our guest predictor this week is Shane from the Race Per Minute podcast, and we are super happy to have him on to do the predictions. Qualifying top three, Shane, take it away.
Hi, it's Shane from Race Per Minute. Thank you very much for letting me get involved and giving you my predictions for the qualifying and race result for the Bahrain Outer Ring. Now, some might say I've drawn the short straw because this circuit or this layout has never been used for an international race, so we've got no data to go on, or I've got no previous years to base my predictions off of. And originally, I was going to pick Hamilton to get pole, but Hamilton's been confirmed to have COVID-19, so he's not going to be racing this week. It's going to be Russell instead. So my predictions are as follows. Bottas, Verstappen, Russell. Now, I know what you're thinking, Russell for P3. That's a very bold prediction, but let me tell you why. Looking at the outer ring circuit, there's not too many corners to navigate. Therefore, it shouldn't take a great deal of time to learn the circuit so he can focus on the car itself and the braking points. And given that the car is so fast in a straight line, I really feel like Russell is only be in a position to secure P3 or above in qualifying. As for the fastest time in qualifying, I believe it's going to be a 54.3.
All right, thank you, Shane. Once again, you can find Shane at Race Per Minute. Make sure you go check him and his buddy out. They got some good content rolling out. So Shane, for his qualifying top three, has Bottas, Verstappen, and old Georgie boy himself, George Russell, in third after qualifying. As far as my picks, I think Bottas is going to qualify in first here. Bottas is a very good qualifier. Kind of a surprise. I do have George Russell in second place. I think he's going to come out the gate hot. And then I do have Max Verstappen in third place for qualifying. So not too crazy with my qualifying picks. I guess I got a little bit more of a surprise for my race prediction. So, Andy, why don't you tell us what John's got?
So John has Valtteri Bottas in P1, Max Verstappen in P2, and Carlos Sainz, like that pick, in P3. Myself, I am going with Valtteri Bottas in P1. I'm basically taking the cars that I think you can point in the straight line and take it pretty much, I think, going to do really well on a track that kind of is like that. So I do think Valtteri Bottas will qualify well, P1. George Russell, I think, will not necessarily be on full mark, but he's going to be in the fastest car. So I think he'll take P2. And I'm with John on seeing Carlos Sainz, reminiscent of his Monza qualifying podium for him in P3.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if there's any kind of shenanigans during qualifying with guys trying to back up the field and get some clear space to run. With it being such a short track, it's definitely going to have to be something we keep an eye on. And maybe potentially there's going to be some guys missing out on their second runs because they wait too long to come out of the pits there. So that could make things juicy at the end there.
Yeah, definitely. Whether we have some of that like we do in Monza, or if we have like one of these oddball track limits where, you know, where we weren't necessarily thinking that that was going to be an issue, but then it turns into one and then you have lap times getting deleted. So I would imagine you're going to see multiple qualifying attempts, assuming that the tires can hold out. You would see multiple attempts at it, not just the one or two shots at it that we normally see.
Yeah, this is what has us so excited for this race too, because there's, even though it's a familiar track, it's just, there's so much unknown. It just got me real excited. But so for qualifying pole lap predictions, Shane has 54.3 seconds, so under a minute. I'm sitting at 55.411. What's John got?
John is going super fast and apparently thinks that that Mercedes car is at the speed of light, which it might be, but he's got a 49.991 lap.
Wow.
So that's, if we get down into that territory, I will be most impressed just with the speed of the car doing 2 miles in 49 seconds. Whew, that'd be quick.
At times like that, like, you know, races can't go longer than 2 hours. Is there any rules about they can't be less than like 1 hour?
I don't think so. you could see a sub hour race. I mean, that would be crazy. But I have a funny feeling
within an hour they're gonna jumble it up and make them go again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I have a funny feeling somebody's going to I don't think it will be clean. So we may see a safety car or two, given the history of this grid and a lot of newbies on the track. So yeah, you got to take that into consideration too.
Just no fireballs this weekend, please.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. My lap time, I have a 54.829 for my pole time.
All right, good deal.
So flipping over into the race, Shane, who do you have for our race podium, and who are your bonus picks?
Right, with regards to the race, I believe if Bottas gets off to a good start, he'll stay out in front and he'll finish first. Max will finish second, and I think we're going to be in for a bit of a surprise. I think Perez is going to finish third with that Mercedes engine. As much as I would like to see Russell on the podium, it's his first race in that car. That car is known to not follow very well, so I think Russell's going to finish a little bit further down the pack, but that's my top three at the moment. It's going to be Bottas, Verstappen and Perez. Moving on to my three random positions, I think Lando Norris will finish in P4, Daniel Ricciardo will finish in P6, and Sebastian Vettel will pick up an extra point by finishing in P10. And there we are. Those are my race and quali predictions. I'll be interested to hear what yours are going forward into this weekend. Don't forget, you can check out our podcast by searching Race Per Minute, all one word, on your favorite podcast app. We're also available on YouTube and on Twitter at Race Per Minute. Thank you very much for having me on your show, guys.
All right, once again, thank you, Shane, for helping us out here. And to review, his podium is Bottas, Verstappen, and Checo Perez. So nice podium picks there. For myself, I actually have Max Verstappen finishing number one in this race. In second place, I've got the one and only Lando Norris. And in third place, not only scoring points for the first time, but getting his first ever podium, George Russell.
I love the fact that chalk is completely gone on this one. I love it. So John has Max Verstappen taking the win. He has Carlos Sainz finishing in P2. And he also has George Russell getting his first point and podium with P3. I actually think with Lewis not in the picture, I think Valtteri can actually relax. And I think Valtteri will take the win. I think he's going to get chased by my boy Carlos Sainz, who I so want him to be able to try to eke out a win in this weirdo format and this weird type of circuit configuration. But I don't think the car is quite there. So I've got him in P2. And I do think George Russell will have a more than respectable performance, first points, and first career podium to finish in P3.
All right.
So,
sorry. I was going to say fastest lap for the race here. I've got Max Verstappen at 58.326.
So John has also very quick lap time of 52.898, and he has that being set by George Russell. I have a lap time that's ostensibly a bit slower of 57.468 seconds. But I also have that being set by George Russell.
All right, good deal. I'm sorry. For the bonus picks, Shane had selected P4, P6, and P10. He's got Lando Norris in P4, Danny Ricciardo in P6, and Sebastian Vettel in P10, snaking himself a point there. For me, I'm going with Carlos Sainz in fourth, Pierre Gasly in sixth, and Esteban Ocon in 10th.
So John has Valtteri Bottas finishing P4 off the podium. Interesting. P6 for Daniel Ricciardo. And in P10, he believes that will be Sebastian Vettel. I have Sergio Perez in P4, Lando Norris in P6. And in P10, I have Daniel Kvyat.
No love for your boy Lando, huh? Only P6.
I'm hoping for more, but you know, I got signs in P2. I can't get overly greedy, unfortunately.
Well, any kind of good finish like that would pretty much seal up third in the constructors, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, pretty much all they have to do is finish kind of in the points, even in the lower points, and they pretty much now can head off unless like Racing Point gets like a shock win or something like that.
Yeah, I think the only chance Ferrari has now at this point is Leclerc, Vettel, 1-2 finish with McLaren, Renault, and Racing Point all double DNFing. So there's a chance, mathematically.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. I'm not holding my breath here, but no, I was I was drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit last time we recorded all together. Ferrari doesn't have a chance at third, but it's all good. Leclerc still has an outside shot at fourth in the drivers, but he would definitely need some luck because I don't think Ferrari's going to be bringing the power necessary this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this is a layout that looks like, you know, if you're good in a straight line, and that, unfortunately, this season, Ferrari isn't. So I was trying to give, you know, the math was workable last week, and then last race happened, and I think that pretty much killed it. But we'll see what happens. Just as a reminder before we kind of duck on out of here of kind of the session times for everybody, because sometimes, you know, people don't necessarily always know when things are. Free practice one will be Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. Central, so 8:30 on the East Coast. Practice two kicks off at 11:30 Central on Friday, so you should be able to catch that if you can. Practice three will be 8 a.m. As the sun is going down on Saturday morning, with qualifying kicking off at 11, so from 11 to noon, catch the qualifying. And then the race will be 11:10 Central, so 12:10 Eastern, 10:10 Mountain, and 9:10 if you're on the West Coast and want to tune in and do it live. James, any final thoughts before we duck on out?
No, like I said, I'm excited for the race weekend. I probably haven't been this excited for an FP1 in a really long time, so I'm curious to see how they look out there on this track. I probably only get this excited for an FP1 when it's like the first race of the season, because we've gone so long without cars on track. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a nice time to start at 11. So we get to have a normal night's sleep, which will be much appreciated. and yeah, I'm ready for some chaos and an unexpected winner, hopefully. Maybe some guys getting their first points ever. Definitely going to see some guys on the track for the first time ever. So super exciting. Can't wait to cheer on an American on the track. And, I'm ready to go for this one.
Yeah, I mean, when this first got announced, we all pointed to this one and said, this has all the makings of a crazy race just with the layout. Now you're adding in basically a fifth, or not even a fifth, a quarter of the grid being brand new drivers coming in for a race, you know, through different circumstances. We could see all sorts of, you know, people qualifying in places where they normally don't, and people racing in positions that they normally don't. So all of the ingredients are here. But as we've also, I want to throw a word of caution. Sometimes they don't bake the way we think they will, but I'm really hoping that they do. And we end up just having, you know, for however long we have it, whether it's an hour and a half, or maybe even the whole 2 hours of good entertainment and everybody being safe and having an awesome show to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll be here to do that for you Sunday night, and it should be a hell of a one to review.
Yep, absolutely. It's been really fun bringing it to you tonight, and as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button, and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast, or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.